Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And this funny thing about Linus, he's an affectionate dog, but when you go to pet his head, he sometimes hunkers down a little bit. He almost cringes a little bit. Like, I don't know, Right. Maybe he was mistreated before we got him.
Well, maybe he sees your meat hook coming at him. You know,
yeah,
like
it could be.
It's like a giant ham descending from the sky.
So, God, wouldn't that be great? She says, I've hit my head. I said, yeah, I saw. Let me help you get back up. She says, it hurts. I said, yes, it does. Let's get some ice on that. She says, yeah, but I'm hungry. I said, okay, would you like? And I run down a whole bunch of things, and she determines what she wants is a chicken bake from Costco. So I throw it in the microwave, and I get her a bag of frozen peas.
What is a chicken bake? What the hell is a chicken bake?
Also, what was the quick the roster of options? I'm fascinated. Excuse my language.
Watch your language, man.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, a question for you boys on our Monday, May 4th show as we watch the news and we try to figure out what's going on with everything. I have an overwhelming feeling we're not getting any clarity from anywhere about what this situation is. And I am reading stories in the news about planes being packed now. People without masks. I'm looking at the mall in your hometown, Oscar, where our show originates from, in Washington, D.C., where the mall was packed, people shoulder to shoulder. All right, I have to ask this question. What has changed?
Oh, nothing.
What has changed in the world? Other than Americans who want their dessert first,
tolerance.
Saying we can't do it.
And
look, I just want to know, if it's all bull, what we've been told up until now about masks and social distancing and flattening the curve and staying away and doing everything we're doing, well, that's fine. But if what I've read and what I have practiced in my life as far as going out with, in some cases, both gloves and a surgical mask, if that's still what we need to do, and everybody says, well, it'll be about 2 weeks to see if there's any effect. Do we even know that? Do we know anything?
There's no facts. And we are,
do
Mike,
we know
as
anything
said.
About anything? Do we know anything about, other than we are, you know, in some states like my state of Florida, you're seeing kind of a slight downward curve, but then an occasional spike. And then in other states that have opened, I give you the great state of Georgia, you're seeing similar a pattern where it's kind of flat right now.
Yeah, but there's not enough data to establish a trend. And this is what troubles me the most. They can say it goes down, but you need to see a trend for weeks before, you know, you can really, that is scientifically, you know, the way they have to do it.
Look, to be fair, people are wearing gloves and masks.
Need you a little louder for me, Oscar.
Okay,
people are wearing
gloves and masks every day. They are.
No, but not on the mall. They weren't.
No, I'm saying that's representative of what you're seeing, what the press wants you to see. Like, I see people wear, I'm telling you what I see. I see people wearing masks and gloves every day, and I also see people not wearing masks and gloves every day. There are people that believe, and there are people that don't. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but I mean, but here's my point. We don't know what to do.
We know on the show what to do, honestly.
We know on the show, but I have to tell you something. I believe that everybody's burned on this now, and
that's
we've
fair.
Made the decision. We've certainly made the decision at the highest levels of government that this is an equation. And if you want to, there's so little accurate information coming out right now, other than the statistics, but everybody's interpreting the statistics differently. And what's driving me nuts right now, what's driving me insane, is the idea that at my age, I would even have a chance of getting this when when, this is so even hard to articulate it, because it's so illogical. We were screamed at to shut down our businesses, to close schools, to social distance, to not go to certain stores, curbside pickup. This was a week ago that this was our reality. And now there is no data that says it's over. But yet we're going back to opening restaurants,
Mike. Because you said it before.
Have I missed something? Is the question?
No, you put your finger on it long before the virus was a thing. We are a nation that now needs to have our vitamins as gummy bears. That's what we are, and we've reached critical mass, and we're done with it.
I think it's more sinister than that, Rob. I think it's more sinister that you are in a situation now. This is just my opinion,
right?
Where I believe at the highest levels, the power brokers, the people that pull the strings, have determined the equation that fatalities in the United States are acceptable. You've heard that before in history. If you study your history, there have been times they use it in war. It is an actual calculation.
Mm-hmm.
The casualty count. Is that worth the loss of human life worth the goal, which is, say, taking the city, in this case, reopening the economy? And you're hearing that there is, that this is a calculation that is, if we are now, okay, it's over. It's not over. There's still people getting sick and dying every single day. Now, in a certain world, I believe you would have that completely and utterly unacceptable to public health and leadership and everything, where they say, no, we have to make, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to prop people up. We're going to have to take care of people, or you're going to have to do your work from home like we've been doing. But we're not doing that. What we're doing in many states around the country right now is we are asking people who, and I give the perfect example because I was in the business of a restaurant owner. You're putting a restaurant owner in an untenable position of, I'm going to open up, but I think that there is no. I was talking to a couple of guys over the weekend about this. There's no playbook about restaurant cleanliness and disinfection. Mm-hmm. You don't have any playbook. There is no way of knowing how to do it properly and whether it will be effective. So where we are, and we as a country, because we don't sweat any kind of details, we're not engaged enough. We're all going, okay, well, I think it's all right now. There's nothing coming. Look, and I hope that as the summer goes on, that this slowly but surely ebbs into the sea. But I don't hear anything from medical experts that's telling me, and Oscar, your brother's on the front line.
Right.
And are we jumping the gun? Is the, or do we even know if we're jumping the
gun? I think it's a lot of, it's a mixed bag of what you just said and what Rob said. People are tired of this. Like, it is, if you practice, take a chance of going out and getting
the virus.
No. People are tired. Even the medical professionals that are dealing with this, they're tired. You can tell what emotional toll it takes on them, right?
Oh, can't imagine. So
we're bitching about it. And then you're like, well, people have to go into this every effing day and with a real risk of getting something every day and bring it back to their families. So it's wearing. So I guess the perspective is, if it's wearing on them, it's wearing on us. Put yourself in their shoes and say, well, maybe we're being a little bit, we're being babies. Like, step it up. Like, it's not. Like,
it doesn't make any sense what you just said.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense. You're. I know what you're arguing. You're arguing a very, very. I hear it coming from the White House.
Well, then
you're arguing. So are we being babies? Medical professionals are
you would say
medical professionals are tired of this, so let's go ahead and say get out there.
No, I'm saying if it's wearing on them and they're still doing it every effing day, and if it's wearing on common Joes that don't have medical professional jobs, it shouldn't be wearing on us as much as it does medical professionals. So let's get over it and continue.
But I mean,
doing
is your
it.
Point? What is your point you're making? I don't understand.
If you give me an effing moment, I can give it to you.
All right. Well, before you said the media, that's a little ding where I hear when you said
that's not what I meant. Mike, I don't live.
You said to me, the people on the mall is what the media is showing me. Everybody you see is wearing masks.
Okay, let me give you this perspective. The people on the mall probably weren't wearing masks. But is it more salacious to put that picture on the mall or people walking around Georgetown wearing masks?
Well, because everybody in Georgetown's not wearing masks, are they?
I would say the majority, I would say 90% of the people that I saw this weekend walking around were wearing masks. What's more salacious?
The people on the mall shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, not wearing masks, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. What is it? I'm asking it's true. You, was it true?
I don't know 100%. I can tell you what I saw.
Think it was a fake picture?
No, I don't think it's a fake picture. But I'm saying that not everybody in the D.C. area is not wearing masks and not giving two Fs about it. The majority of people that I see are wearing masks and gloves that I get a chance to visually see with my own two eyes. That they are. They absolutely are.
Your point you're making is that's fine, but I don't want 90%.
You need 100%. Does that mean
I want 100%.
I agree.
I want a store. You can't come into our store if you're not wearing a mask. At least.
Those are the rules. Those are
the only thing I read that jumped out at me is statistic. The only thing I grabbed that I went, that's pretty significant, was this. And I have no idea whether this is accurate or not. They showed a chart with two people in a grocery store without wearing masks and some very high number of chance of infection if one of them happens to be sick. Then they showed one person wearing the mask who was infected and another person who was not infected. And you had another significant percentage of the chance of infection. Then you had two people wearing masks.
Correct.
And it went down to like 1.5%
chance of infection.
And that's the one where I said to myself, okay, America, is it that inconvenient to have
what
it
told
absolutely
you understand?
Mandatory? This is what is insane. We don't do it. Like Canada, for example, they had the murder up in Nova Scotia an assault weapon.
Yeah.
Three, 4 days later, no more assault weapon. Not here. Not in America. Not in freedom. I mean, we're so frigging stupid about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting, and there's no clarity. There are these great, hey, do it on your own states, do it on your own state. What I want to know is if this now is going to continue where they're going to get up to, remember about a week ago when they said 60,000? Remember
the highest, that? Yeah.
And then they said 74,000. Well, it's going to be more than 74,000, obviously, based on the numbers where it's 66 as of last night. I don't know what it is today. I'm just out of my mind today.
Mike, I have a question for you.
How do I keep my family safe? What am I supposed to do?
I have a question for you, and I have a question for Oscar, because it's something that I've been thinking about all weekend. And you used the word sinister, and I'm glad you did, because to me, sinister means evil under the subtext of being good. It's like tricking people. You're evil with people not even knowing it.
Right.
I was so bothered, and I love the notion. On the surface, it's a great notion. That the Blue Angels did the flyover of the D.C. area this weekend to salute the people on the front line. That's what they said. That is, this show of our air power is a salute to the front line. And you know what?
Come on down to the mall. Put a picnic out and sit next
and first
to somebody
of all,
without a mask.
I'm no Idiots. Real student of budget, but I think that money for that was probably pretty significant. And that could have been used for things that could have saluted the front lines by like getting them masks and things. But that beside the point. The sinister nature of this is our government facilitating this huge flyover, which, to be appreciated, means you have to gather in certain places. It's like a secret way of making people say, hey, we can leave our house.
Yeah, that's a leap. They did in New York, and not everybody went in the streets of New York.
I don't know. I mean, they're not doing it to not be seen, though. Oscar. They did,
of course, it's a morale booster. I get it. It's propaganda, but it's not like there and get infected.
Do you believe there's a calculation going that there's a school of thought saying that we played clips of these people, the people that are winning right now, your national leadership, who's winning right now are the economic people. Make no mistake, the public health people have been. Put to the back burner. They have. What the calculation is now is that the loss of human life is worth it. Drones, getting out there, ride your subways, ride your buses, go to work. Go to work, people. If you get it, we'll do the best we can. But your death, make no mistake, is factored into the calculation of the economy coming back.
An acceptable margin is what they were going to
call it. An acceptable margin. Yes. That is it. The acceptable margin is worth getting out there. And we're playing into it as easily as cattle in a packing house. Mm-hmm. We are going down the chute, and we're doing it. And you know what? That's what it is. But 2 weeks ago, the point I'm trying to make is...
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think that you're absolutely right.
2 weeks ago, we were... Do you remember 2 weeks? It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, it was shelter in place. Why?
Right.
2 weeks ago, 10,000 deaths. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 10,000 deaths was unacceptable. Shelter in place. Don't you dare go outside. Now, we have 67,000 deaths, and people are getting it. Over 1 million Americans have gotten this. Go out, and it's over.
On Thursday,
there's a mindset being foisted on the American people right now that it's over, and it ain't over. And we're going to be so conditioned to this by the time it gets up to, well, I've read varying statistics about how high the death count could go. My question is, I wish I knew what to do for my own family. I don't want to take a chance as a 60-year-old guy. I don't want to take any chance of getting this because I think I'd have a good chance of, you know, of buying the farm if
you're
I got
going down, unfortunately. Yeah.
Certainly wouldn't want my wife or my son to get it either.
My mom is overweight. She's almost 70. She gets it. She's going down.
Me too. So here we are back to square one where I ask you, what are people thinking? Are you just saying, I know that I'm taking it less seriously than I did 2 weeks ago. I guarantee you that. I still practice certain things.
It's almost subliminally the way they're playing us. The way when the highest level of federal government says it's a state-by-state basis. That is, though, a politically wise thing to say, ostensibly. Sure. What it does, it also gives the notion that it's not as important as it might be. Because if it was something that was paramount, it would be a federal mandate. We'll just handle it state by
state. What's the onus?
And by the way, come out and see the planes. It'll be nice.
What's the onus on ourselves? Like individuals, like the general, just let's say the three of us here.
I'm glad you brought that up. Can I answer that? I can answer that right away. The onus on ourselves is we have to take care of ourselves.
Okay.
Yep.
If you're, and I'm going to say this to our listening audience, all right? Look, if you are forced to go back to work, if you have no choice, I can't tell you that you can't put bread on your table. I can't tell you to do that. But in every other aspect of your life, I think if you are concerned that we are getting just sold a bill of crap from governors in these states that are opening too early and from our national leaders that somehow arbitrarily have picked a date,
can't
that
do
this
it.
Is we're going to open. You got to protect yourselves. And what Oscar was mentioning before, if 90% of people on the streets of Georgetown are wearing masks, I think that's a great time. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think they should do that. That's the way you do it. I think also, you know, getting out and doing that. I think going into a closed space is fine. I mean, if you're closer to people and you're outside.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you just don't know. And everything is a little bit more risk at a time.
So, and look, this is, I'm not getting on a soapbox. And I'm just telling you what I know and how I do it, right? There is a website called coronavirus.dc.gov that puts out new numbers every day. Okay. And I look at those numbers every effing day.
Mm-hmm.
New cases by ward. They break it up by neighborhood, like how many new cases there are, recoveries and deaths, and by race. Everything is there.
You're getting unlike my state and my board that I look at every day, you're getting actual information on your board. You're not preventing your medical examiners from releasing the information. Thanks, Governor DeSantis.
So if you have access to anything like that, that really helps you kind of calculate your deal. And I'll give you an example. Beginning of last week, I'm looking at these numbers and they're kind of going up. They were going up in DC slightly. Compared to New York and New Jersey, they're nothing, but it's a big deal. And you start looking at these numbers and you're like, I talked to Shannon. I said, Shannon, look at these numbers. It's like, nothing's changing. And in Ward 2 and Ward 3, which has the least number of cases. By the way, for those of you
around the country, DC's broken down. If you've never heard that before, it's broken down into wards.
Eight neighborhoods, boroughs, district, neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Most important, Ward 8 produced a fantastic mayor. A fantastic mayor.
Yes.
So
you know what?
Mayor Barry Ward 8.
He could have defeated this.
Yes.
So you
with
get
empathy,
you, and I don't know if Virginia has this or Maryland has this, but you get this data. And you, ourselves as like private citizens, you start looking at that and say, okay, it's still go time on this. We still got to wear the mask. We still, like, you start getting that. That's the only thing you can do. And by the way, also, sidebar, driving the highways, seeing those, if you're coming from New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York, must quarantine for 14 days. Just yesterday, on the highway, where you usually see amber alerts or traffic, announcements, that screams, this isn't over. Now, are there different parts of the country that are impacted different ways? Absolutely. It would be dumb to say otherwise. But for our region, at least, and certain hot pockets in Florida and around the country, this is powerful information.
Let me go through Florida. Okay. And I'm going to start on April 28th. April 28th, new cases. And by the way, what they use down here is new cases of residents. All right. My primary residence is in the state of Florida. If you're a snowbird and your primary residence
they won't ever give it to you.
In Iowa, you ain't going to get that. All right. It's a game they play. Imagine, think of the borderline criminality.
Mm-hmm. That's not the even borderline.
The criminality of depriving people of accurate statistics to make it look better than it is. I'm sorry, that is a fact down here from everything that I have read. So, with that said, April 28th, 346 cases. Then on April 29th, 517 cases. The 30th, 995 cases. Then we go down to 721 cases on May 1st. And then the last one I have is 648 cases on the 2nd of May.
And while that is a drop from the previous day, keep in mind that's still up 300 from 4 days before?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's true. And that's what we deal with.
But they won't point that out either.
In my, how many cases do you have in the District of Columbia
total?
Right now? How many?
I'll run it up. Give me 2 seconds here.
In my county where I live, we have had 1,118 cases. And residents account for 1,076 of those cases. Residents, non-residents, 41 cases. So it's very, but then when you go over to the main board, which keeps the deaths, it's just what I'm telling you is I don't trust anyone anymore.
Nor should you.
So total positive tests, how much was your total?
1,118.
23,795.
Tells you what cities you're dealing with.
And then those are overall tests. Total positives are 5,170.
That's okay.
So we got a 5x of what you have.
I'm sorry, I thought your tests.
I'm giving you all the.
Are the cases in DC?
So positives are 5,170.
Okay.
And recovered are 666. From what they have, the people have been like, okay, they've completely gone out of it. If they had to have been admitted to the hospital,
how many people are that 5,000 have bought it?
258.
That's a high mortality rate.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia, as of 5 p.m. yesterday, 19,492 cases. And 684 deaths.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's so here we are again. But do you get the sense that we're, as a country, kind of going, okay, it's over? I feel that. And I don't think it's over. Listen, I also don't think that I like to think it's not going to spike like some of the people have said, some of the medical experts. I'm hoping. But that's all I'm doing. I'm hoping. So here we are back to, where we were before. And I don't know. I can tell you something you won't hear pundits say on the radio today. I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, how to protect my family. But I do know that in the great state of Florida, you can go out to a restaurant today. You can go out to a restaurant today. They're a guy that can't go to a gym yet, can't go to a barbershop yet. But you can go out to and by the way, there is a plan in place for opening those gyms and those. And I'm saying, what the hell do we do as citizens? Where do you think it's going to go?
I honestly think what you're talking about right now is the inevitable across the country. And
we're gonna open up.
It's gonna open up. And
spikes of the virus be damned.
Through across the country, there'll be hotspots, and we'll get through this. So that margin of error that you're saying, the acceptable margin of error, is going
to be... Acceptable deaths.
Well, I'm not saying it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not opening up anytime soon here. Like, right. It's we're doing what we can. You can only control what you can control.
Which is so valid, and it goes back to what you said before, Mike. If you watch out for yourself, just because a gym is open, just because a restaurant is serving food, doesn't mean you have to go to the gym, doesn't mean you have to go to the restaurant. Stay home. If nothing changes within your household, within your circle, you are still following the policies that got us on the right foot 2 weeks ago. So if we do it as a person.
All right, I get it. I'm glad I talked to you guys. Now I understand what it is. And what it is the way this country was founded. We make no mistake about it, human beings in America. Americans, we are on our own. 100%. You are on your own. You want to protect yourself? You do what you're doing. Don't think that it's okay. You want to take a chance of catching the COVID? Pretend that it's all gone, right? Is that have we imparted any knowledge out there?
No, it's so. I think the pretend part is. I think people are going to take their own risks at their own peril or whatever may happen. And if you look at the breakdown of what looks like age demographics in DC, the majority of people that have contracted it are in their 20s to 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Not caring, not thinking they have to worry about it, maybe.
That is bulletproof. I would say it's 75% of the people have contracted it.
Well, last question for this.
Yes.
Do you think that this, you said hotspots. Do you think that we will get back to a fall surge because we have lived our lives like this that I have heard perhaps will overwhelm the medical care facilities in a much more serious way than they did even initially? Do you think that's possible?
If we follow the science, it'll happen before then.
Because we will be overwhelming our medical facilities because so many people
will be opening sick. We're opening it up as we speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those, I mean, I think we're not CNN.
I don't want it to happen.
We're not Fox News. Yeah, we're not MSNBC. We are just giving you the facts that we've been determining. We don't know.
Unless Gilead medicine is the tip of the spear, and within the next couple of months, so this is also, Mike, think about this. What you're seeing now, the government opening up and this overall maybe personal risk assessment is, they hear on the news, and maybe people are not as informed as they should be. And by the way, if you don't think this is socioeconomic, it's socioeconomic. Like,
that's DC. Let the little guy, let your minimum wage guy go out there. He gets killed. He gets it. What's the manageable risk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see,
it's socioeconomic.
Even if you see, like in the DC area, you see the cases in Hispanics and African Americans, like, head and shoulders above anybody else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But make no mistake, it is so. I agree with you 1,000%. But it is also let the rich folks go out to their outdoor restaurant, and if they happen to get it, it's a smaller percentage, and that's an acceptable risk as well.
So everybody's going.
It's going to create the illusion of the economy.
You have to educate yourself. At the root of all of this, you have to educate yourself, try to, and then you make the assessment for yourself and your family. Some people, we have the luxury of talking about this and saying, make that assessment. There are people in this country that, like you said, Mike, don't have that choice. There's no assessment to be made.
There's no choice.
Either they go back
to work. Keep your job, or
you die of
the COVID.
Or you die of starvation, or you don't put food on your family's plate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I talked about it several weeks back. That's where we are right now. So I don't know. I wish I had a funny way of getting out of this, but I don't. It's just on my mind.
Everybody's,
you know what?
Mind,
maybe
I
I'll
think.
Go right to the I'll go right to the funny to start the show, because we've gotten serious, and now a visit from my mother-in-law. We have our social distancing cocktail mm-hmm. on Saturday, where we put, just like the old neighborhood, we put lawn chairs out in the driveway. We have an adult beverage,
perfect.
And Carla turns over storage bins, plastic storage bins, so everybody has their little cocktail table. We put a little Bose speaker out there, and we mm-hmm. say hi to the neighbors that are walking by in our neighborhood. And I made some comment about, boy, I hope I don't drink, or passing out or something like that. Something about me going down. And the quote of the day came from Carla's mom, who said, "Well, I'm glad you didn't pass out. We wouldn't want to have to perform artificial insemination on you."
Oh.
I said, "Yeah." So, by the way, if anybody wants to revive someone who gets in, make sure that you do chest compressions and breaths. I think it's every 8, so you can perform artificial insemination on them. Thank you, Gracie. Start the show, Rob Spiewak. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
True. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I want to know if you'll go someplace with me.
Like where?
The drive-in.
Look, Daddy, I like you. I like you.
That's the thing. I like you, too.
Daddy! A lot of things about me you don't know anything about, Daddy. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
I don't understand.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me. I'm a loner, Daddy. A rebel.
Have you got any messages for room 104? The name's Herman. P.W. Herman.
No, nothing right now, Mr. Herman.
I'll be in the bar.
Happy C'est magnifique. Voici Pierre.
Bonsoir.
Dino, here, brought you guys French fries.
Merci beaucoup, Pee-wee.
Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman, you have a telephone call at the front desk.
The president again. I've got to steal back the X-1 before the Soviets find the secret compartment containing the microfilm. The future of the free world is riding on this one.
I'm going with you.
No, Daddy, it's too dangerous.
I invented the X-1, PW. I'm going with you.
All right, let's go.
You are such a pushover.
I know you are. But what am I?
You'll be sorry, Pee-wee Herman.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Man, oh man, tell your wife to down a couple of those edibles and watch that movie. That'll be big fun, that's for sure. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Oh boy. Live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, all the way from Alameda, California. Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Nice.
Nebraska City, Nebraska. That's a good name for a city in Nebraska.
I wonder how they named it.
Wonder where it is. Never heard of it. To be honest with you, the first time I've ever heard of it.
I never heard of it.
Nebraska City, Nebraska. Schulenburg, Texas. By the way, Nebraska rolled all the way through that state, not wearing a helmet. Should have been wearing a helmet on my scoot, but I wasn't, and found out it would have cost me $250.
Personal choice, Mike.
Yeah. It was a personal choice, yes, just like not wearing a mask.
Acceptable margin.
Yes. Schulenburg, Texas. Yellow Springs, Ohio. Oh. And Copenhagen, Denmark. I've always wanted to go to Copenhagen.
Yes.
I hear it's a beautiful city. The show today brought to you by a new fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's called Best Fiends.
Fiends.
Not Best Friends, Best Fiends. If you are looking for a fun way to pass the time, Rob's holding it up right now.
There we go.
There it is. There's the game. I've played it. Oscar's played it. Yeah. Rob's played it.
I'm best on level fiends. 43.
Are you really? Wow.
That, yes.
You can do better. You can engage your brain with great visuals and a gripping story. Your answer is Best Fiends. This is so cool. This is a casual game that anyone can play, but it's made for adults. You can spend as much or as little time as you'd like in the game, perfect for a little break anytime. We need those. Best Fiends is a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike other puzzle games out there. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. Once you start, you can't stop. Fresh, fun, and cute. I'm cute. I'm cute. And it's a blast beating everybody and beating the levels. Best Fiends is great anytime. It doesn't require internet to play. Internet. So you don't need to worry about Wi-Fi access or using cellular data. No bandwidth, no problem. Spend some time with your best fiends.
Let me, if I can just explain it briefly, it's so cool. You have bugs and you're fighting slugs and you use water droplets and strawberries and mushrooms and leaves and flowers and bombs and you upgrade and you win gold bars and you win diamonds and you spin wheels and you pick boxes. It is addictive and it's so much fun to find your way through.
Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Yeah, it'll be addicted. Took Carla, I think, 8 seconds to become addicted to the game. Yep. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. That's funny. Best Fiends,
Best
everybody.
Fiends, yes.
Check it out. Check it out. Yeah, sorry for the heavy. I just don't know what to do.
I think it was a public service.
Yeah, and I think we all are feeling
so.
It.
Take care of yourself. Nobody's going to government's not going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to do their, they're going to do what they think they should do.
We're going to leave it up to the governors.
No, they're making a calculation right now. So if you think that their calculation means that opening up is going to result in everybody's hunky-dory, that ain't the case. Do what Oscar does. Read the data board every day. I read the data board every day and check it out. And right now, we're kind of treading water. I think, I can tell you whether nationally we are treading water or not. I think we had the highest one-day total in the nation of deaths maybe yesterday or the day before. So that means we're still increasing our deaths out there.
And Rob, to give you and I think both Rob and Mike are on the same page here. If this we're getting conflicting information
of
nationally,
course.
That's all it is, and it's frustrating and it sucks and you don't know what to do and it's scary. It is the math that I'm asking everyone to do for themselves, and that information is honestly not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do. It's not that hard to even get into. And you just see if cases are going up, cases are going down. See what you like, what your assessment is. If you are in a high risk zone, I'd suggest you don't go anywhere. If you have a support system or you don't have a support system, like we can try to help you find one. Especially if you're one of our listeners. But it really feels like it's information based. And if the coronavirus spread through around this world in a matter of weeks into a couple months and really spread across this country in weeks, for people to open up early, to open up, now, and with even when May 15th comes around, Mike, it's not. I think that's still a little too early.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
So within that world, you sit there and you're like, well, we know that something else, that there has been a margin of risk, an acceptable margin of error, which that error is deaths that someone has calculated.
They're calculating right now that these deaths will not spike to a level that will alarm the American public.
Yes,
but
yes.
There will continue to be deaths. So if you think that the one thing you can't say, Americans, is you can't get out there and think you're going to roll down to your favorite restaurant and have that chance, and then if somebody gets sick, say, well, I thought it was fine. No, it's not fine. It's not even close to fine. What this is these states that are, you hear the experiment word being used, where Georgia would be an example of an experiment where it happens. Georgia, I will be honest with you, not spiking, but certainly not going down.
No. And so I'd love to see the information in Georgia.
2 weeks ago.
We need to see 2 weeks. We need to see a 2-week rolling average to really see what's going on.
Even 2 weeks might not show you that.
I guess, Rob, what we're getting to is that, like, I think back to our first point is educate yourselves.
Of course.
Decide what you can and cannot do, what you're comfortable doing, what you're not. This Gilead medicine that's out, which I think is important, which is a stepping stone to hopefully more preventive drugs, but not a complete, vaccine. I think a lot has to do with that good news coming out, Mike, and then people thinking that that's the runway for the cure, or the runway with the runway to really mitigate any severe symptoms has happened. So like, oh, all right, science is closer. I'm getting out of my house.
You know, I'm a big believer in the way I've looked at it, Oscar, reading what I've read about vaccines and the efficacy of vaccines and the development of vaccines, I am much more excited when I see word of a treatment, the arthritis drugs. The fact that we overblew because of the administration, Trump administration, chloroquine, and there were not studies showing that it made the difference and it did do harm. That was a bust. That was. I mean, right now, I think it has been effective in certain people, but it's a bust overall. The statistics are showing that. But anytime a treatment comes down, I'm much more excited about that than I am the vaccine, because the vaccine is a great unknown, and the vaccine's going to take a while, and you have to make sure. By the way, how many people talk about getting the flu after they get a flu shot? That's the way I feel about vaccinations. Mm-hmm. I think that if they have it, you take it, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But treatment of the actual symptoms, treatment of people that get this into their lungs, that excites me. And I really think that will also be able to help us much more quickly. We'll see what happens with that. But you are on your own, ladies and gentlemen. Your government has chosen to, in many states, open. You have states that have not opened. By the way, your fellow Americans are running into capitals with sidearms and screaming freedom, freedom, freedom. And they are yelling at their governor in the state of California because he's closed things down. So this is not necessarily all the leader's fault when the American people are screaming and yelling. We just don't have the strong voice. History will judge this. There is not even a doubt in my mind that history will judge what our national leadership.
I'm watching talking the about crown. Governors.
I'm talking about the national leadership and how they let us down almost every step of the way. At almost every step of the way. Oh, well, you guys let the everybody's holding their hands up and going, well, I really don't know. And I include all the health people, too, that, he may be an American hero, Dr. Fauci, giving us stats and facts like that. But at a certain point, you have to have people scream and yell, and it doesn't work in this administration. It's very sad, very frustrating to me. So we're going to have to wait and see. But that's where we are. And it's very top of mind for me. It's very, very top of mind.
I don't mind talking about it. I think it's important people to really digest this and then make their own decisions.
It should be top of mind, because when we bring up the number of cases and sadly the number of deaths, keep in mind, folks, when you're complaining about having to stay at home because you don't have your pork barbecue because your place is closed, why you're staying home is because people are dying.
Yeah, but
people are dying, but that's not what people are focused on.
That is
on.
A disconnect. You can't really get people to understand that level of despair unless they've got a connection like Oscar's got a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're really good at empathy. I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I actually understand how people say it. But when you don't talk to somebody who's wearing a hazmat suit to go to work, as Jose is every day, and you it's hard to, it's certainly gotten you more empathetic about the situation, Oscar, by dealing with him all the time and understand. You kind of changed your attitude about
it's not something you want in your life, because I talk to my brother and sister and my brother in California every day. And these are conversations that I think with everybody, they start with, like the kind of the doom and gloom. We're at a point now that he doesn't even want to talk about it, or my sister-in-law doesn't want to talk about it. Like,
PTSD.
Let's talk about something else.
I can imagine.
Like, tell me about your day. Like, how are the productions going, the remote productions going? Like, they just don't want to talk about it.
They want something else on their mind, something to just, rinse their mind a little bit.
Like, distract me. Give me something funny. Give me something else. Like, what's going on with the house? What else is broken, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad.
That's my personal experience. But I get the frustration. If you're a parent and you're teaching at home, you just want this to be over with, because it's probably just, especially if you have more than one kid, it's nuts. You don't know what's going to happen this summer. You're probably getting a ton of pressure from work to do your job if you got to do your job. And by the way, there are no layoffs and furloughs. They're still real. They're still happening, regardless of what these governments are doing.
It's very sad. And we'll keep you posted as much as we can. But we're thinking about that. And, if I can change the subject, we're all trying to find different things to watch.
Yes.
And different things to decipher. Rob Spiewak, you will be very proud of me that yesterday afternoon, as my wife and her mom were enjoying a glass of wine, Right? I sat in my easy chair and turned on Turner Classic Movies and
watched
from start to finish The Unsinkable Molly Brown and watched it from start to finish.
What is that?
It's a jive-ass musical about Molly Brown, who was a famous lady who actually was on the Titanic.
Played
she was
by
known.
Kathy Bates in the movie Titanic.
Oh. More accurate look for the Unsinkable than Debbie Reynolds in the the movie from the 1950s.
Well, as you know, I believe Kathy Bates is a little more buoyant than Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, I did a deep dive looking for Molly Brown to see pictures of what she really looked like. She really looked like Kathy Bates.
She really did.
She did not look like Debbie Reynolds. But
what was your takeaway?
I watched everybody, enjoyed every bit of it. I loved it. It was fun. I really, really enjoyed it. But my one takeaway, this is what I love to do. I know I'm going to the dark side, Oscar, when I watch his network. But I watched this.
My network.
I did a deep dive on the co-star who strangely looked interesting to me and had a presence, was a big singer and did a baritone. And this guy was somebody who I said to myself, why does he look familiar? He's got a big, young, strapping guy with a big, deep voice. I love Molly Brown. And he's doing, and I'm looking at the guy and I'm like, why does he look familiar? Why does this man look familiar? So I go in and I dive into his filmography. And let me get you the guy's name. I'm going to tell you this guy. He was something else, and they're going to give the cast.
Because I'm not ultra familiar with the movie. I know the movie. I've seen the movie many years ago, and it's a great Debbie Reynolds vehicle.
Molly Brown is Molly Brown because she marries a guy named Johnny Brown. Johnny Brown. But the actor playing Johnny Brown was Harve Presnell.
I know the name.
You're not doing it. I'm doing it. Put it away. I'm doing the look. All right. Harve Presnell. Now you can, when we get to the point, you'll want to hold it up. Okay. Harve Presnell was a musical theater guy on Broadway. And I look at his filmography and his filmography kind of takes a bit of a tumble after like the 70s.
Right.
And then this guy, Harve Presnell, was fantastic. I think he won a Golden Globe as Best New Actor in The Unsinkable Molly Brown. And I said, why does he look so familiar? And I realized, hold on, I've seen that guy, but I've seen him without hair. And I've seen him, of course, much older.
Right.
Because I've seen him in the movie Fargo.
Is he really in Fargo?
He's Wade. He's the father.
Wade.
I'm not going to give $1 million. I'm not going to give $1 million. He's that guy.
Oh, yeah,
he plays Wade. There he is. That's Harve. That's Harve Presnell.
That's great.
And Harve Presnell kind of dropped out of Hollywood for a time and did stage productions all around the country.
I wonder if the Coen brothers, because Fargo was a Coen brothers movie, right? They are students of film. I wonder if they sought him out and brought him in on purpose.
Well, would you like to know the other movie that he's in? Remember the guy that plays George Marshall in Saving Private Ryan that reads the letter, Dear Mr. Marshall.
Yeah.
And he reads the Abraham Lincoln. That's Harve Presnell, who showed up. And let me see. You've got, you go to 1964, The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Then he does a few movies. And in 1969, he does Paint Your Wagon, a famous musical.
Not a great musical.
Do you know when the next... That's 1969. Do you know when his next films were?
When?
1996.
Mm. Wow.
He went from 1969
years.
To 1996. And then he did Fargo and The Chamber. And then he did a few movies after. Save a Private Ryan, Patch Adams.
I'm surprised he looked after that long. I'm surprised he even looked familiar to you.
And he died in 2009. But I will tell you that, Oscar, you'll be happy to know one of your movies. In 2003, he did Old School.
Oh, nice.
He played Mr. Springbrook in Old School. So that's a tribute to a wonderful actor. And he kept my... Harve Presnell was the name of a musical theater star with Debbie Reynolds. Had the future, you know... Right in front, decided F it. Something pissed him off.
I know.
Maybe he didn't get the
just, you know, just for a few seconds while we're talking about movies on TV, last night I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark on the CBS Sunday Night Movie, and it was such a funny throwback because they actually had the old, what they were like computer generated graphics from the 80s of the CBS Sunday Night Movie and a great fake Morgan Freeman announcers, welcome to the CBS Sunday night movie. And yeah. they presented it the way they did in the 80s. And it was so weird watching a movie with commercials where you had to like, and I said this on Facebook, I said, you have to time your bathroom breaks. Cause I started it at 8 o'clock. So I couldn't fast forward and I tried not to pause it. And Raiders of the Lost Ark, still a great movie. And it brought to me thinking, what is it that when you see a movie on TV, like when you're watching it live, not on your DVR, not from a disc or something, not streaming it, why is it more enjoyable? And I think it's because even subliminally, you know, it's a shared experience. And there's people all around the country that are probably watching the movie at the same time.
Oh, no, I don't think just, of that at
you're
all.
Too lazy to get up and get the remote. Yeah, yeah. You're too lazy to put the DVD in.
You don't have to think about it.
The,
it's been fed to you.
It's lazy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You just don't. It's
well, you know what? I guess I enjoy being lazy.
Experience. It's like, hey, look at that. Casino's on without commercials.
How many other losers are just watching that when we have cable? Like, think about that.
Hey, to be fair, I get CBS through a cable. It technically is cable television.
We have a programming announcement for Friday and a little recap on Friday when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. It's another good one. If you missed it, shame on you. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is Name Barry reminding you to send in your mail for the mailbag that Rob reads on the Mike O'Mara Show. All you have to do is include it. Send it to Rob with two B's at MichaelMarishow.com, and then maybe we'll read your message on the radio podcast.
What about the address name, Barry?
Shut up, Rob.
Welcome back tomorrow to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by KiwiCo. We got a kid down the street, the neighbor kid that's loving KiwiCo as well. We're seeing a lot of kids stuck inside, wasting their days away. If you think it's impossible to get a kid to put down the cell phone or video game, and do something that's good for their brain, you're wrong. It's very possible. And by the way, KiwiCo, please get that monthly package to me, please, ASAP. I mean, I know we got one like 3 weeks ago, but I know it's a month that I have to wait for them. But please get it
the
to
time,
me.
Time.
Please, please. The screen is turning him into a little wine fest. He's woke up like a bear today. You're wrong if you don't think it's something good for you out there. It's KiwiCo. Take a second chance and do it. Science and art. It's a subscription box for kids, tested by kids. It is more fun than any game they can play, and I was truly surprised by how much we both enjoyed making that kaleidoscope about 3 weeks ago. Michael loves getting things in the mail. He loves doing it by himself, mostly, and I loved helping him with it. It's really, the kaleidoscope is so much fun. Your kids won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo, and when they're finished, their confidence will be as big as their smile. It's great to spend quality time tackling projects together. Each box has all the supplies needed for that month's project. All you need is an appetite for fun. KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get your first month free on select crates at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. Are we running like insanely late today?
Yeah, we've done better. We've done better clockwise on other shows.
Okay, so let me make it brief and tell you a little recap on Friday night. Apparently, your wife had the reaction to all the champagne post-show on Friday. And, and by the way, for the people, there were a few negative threads that were out there floating around about the way Oscar the way Rob and I were treating our wives. There's one guy said that was very disrespectful. Oscar seems to be the only one that's respecting his wife during the show. No, Oscar was texting Shannon his disrespect.
Yes.
We were saying it live when Rob was going, Carrie, shut up. And I'm like, shut up,
Carla.
Can
you look like you're having fun to my wife?
Yeah, pretend.
Yes. Can you try?
That was like Friday night right there.
Carrie, did not drink two bottles of champagne this week. There was at least a glass left the second bottle. And so after, stop the music. After the show stopped, and I thought she, relatively so, held it together pretty good for the show. And then she did what is her signature move now for two consecutive weeks. She sits down on the floor and lays down on the carpet and takes a rest and asks if she was good. And I say, you were very good. He said, was I funny? Yes, you're very funny. Was I good? Yes. But was I funny? Yes. I said, do you think it was funny? I said, yes. Do you think I was? Yes. I said, let's go upstairs. And she says, I'm so hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm so hungry. I said, well, we can get food upstairs. So we go upstairs and she sits down on the couch and Linus comes over. and she reaches out to pet him. And his funny thing about Linus, he's an affectionate dog, but when you go to pet his head, he sometimes hunkers down a little bit. He almost cringes a little bit. Like, I don't know, maybe he was mistreated before we got him.
Well, maybe he sees your meat hook coming at him. You know,
yeah, it's
like
it could be.
It's like a giant ham descending from the sky.
So, God, wouldn't that be great?
come on, get to it.
So she reaches down to pet him, and just so you know, it must be a family trait. She takes a tumble off the couch, and hits the side of her head pretty hard on the floor.
Oh,
and no. She said
she hit her head
a little, but just her cheek, side of her head.
Okay,
and I said,
not nothing like nothing damaging.
No, well, no, she didn't bleed. She didn't bleed out like I did.
Leave a mark.
No. She's an amateur, not like me, not a pro. And she says, I've hit my head. I said, yeah, I saw. Let me help you get back up. She says, it hurts. I said, yes, it does. Let's get some ice on that. She says, yeah, but I'm hungry. I said, okay. Would you like? And I run down a whole bunch of things, and she determines what she wants is a chicken bake from Costco. So I throw it in the microwave and I get her a bag of frozen peas.
What is
peas.
A chicken bake? What it the is, hell is a chicken
also,
bake?
Also, what was the quick the roster of options? I'm f***ing fascinated. Excuse my language.
Watch your language, man.
Sorry.
I mean, I went in the fridge. I think we had some leftover pork roast. We had hot dogs. There was stuff for
pork
sandwiches.
Pork roast, you're talking my language there.
Yeah.
There you go.
But she went for the chicken bake, which is a Costco food court favorite. It's a chicken and I think some bacon and some dressing and wrapped in a dough and you can bake them and they're delicious. If you microwave them, they're just passable.
Do you get it from the food court or do you get it from the
you
the,
can get
the,
them prepared
sell?
At the food court or frozen in your Costco freezer.
Okay,
so it's not a big favorite of mine, but that's what she wanted. And so I put her on the couch again after the fall, put some frozen peas on the side of her face, because I know if she wakes up with a blackened eye, with a blackened eye, it's going to look bad on me. And so get her the chicken bake, and she plows through it, and she says, still hungry. So and my face hurts. I said, don't cry. You're going to be okay. Would you like another chicken bake? Yes.
Did she have a bruise in the morning?
No, she did not. All so right. I got her a second chicken bake.
If
and
she
then,
did, there'd be a problem, Mike. This story
yeah,
would be a
yeah,
whole lot.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Police.
So after the second chicken bake and some forced water and some acetaminophen, I got her up to bed almost. She just wanted to visit the restroom. And that's when I had to bring a blanket and a pillow to the restroom floor where she spent the bulk of the evening. She never threw up. She never threw up. But you know what? We Mike, just like dealing with COVID, why risk it? So we kept her close to the bathroom, and she got up, and I was able to get her back in bed about 5 in the morning, and that's when she says, my face, it hurts. I said, well, you fell. What? No, I didn't. And I said, I said, did you throw up? She said, no. I said, good, because you had 2 chicken bakes. She said, no, I didn't.
Wow. Well, you know, I think it's a bit, we've done these a little too much. We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
We'll do it on Friday at 7 o'clock. Yeah. 7 o'clock. Be with us, 7 Eastern, 4 West Coast time. We'll see you then. It's gonna happen, and we'll get that done with all the wives there. And my sincere apologies to Carrie and Carla when I was trying to tell the story of how I named Winslow our new dog. For flipping them both off in an angry way. By
it's
the way,
okay.
Everybody,
she doesn't
gets
remember.
To be, everybody gets to talk trash, but as soon as I get pissed, you know, the world stops. You know, everybody's like, all of a sudden, the mass murderer has come out of his coffin. You know? I mean, it's just like,
Mike, if I were to tell Carrie, if I were to tell Carrie that Mike flipped you off, she'd say, no, he didn't.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show. King's Thing. And now, here's Larry. I never taste the sour in sweet and sour pork. Will Rogers didn't like me. From the knees down, no feeling. Hey, Lester Holt, I'm not buying what you're selling. Everything bagels disorient me. David Frost gives a great background. I've found that you can buy anything online except love. I like the TMOS Shopping Center. Unbeatable! Access them through the MikeOMarishow.com. Stay home. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Might be blowing up that Larry real soon. Crash diets are, hey, that's me doing it. Crash diets are always temporary. If you want to keep those pounds off, you have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why I love Noom, and you will too, because everyone is different. Noom adjusts to your lifestyle. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. They teach you why you do the things you do, the way you do the things you do, and they give you the tools you need to ditch bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It is a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. My favorite part, they got a great food database. You're going to love that. Ultra helpful when you're cooped up at home. It's the best. Oscar loves Noom. Carlos never looked better. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today. Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS, and you will enjoy it. Yes, sirree. Bob, Noom. We love Noom.
Noom.
All right, we got time. We've just been late all day, and I got a good news you may
not
need.
A lot of stuff
coming up here. Did anybody see the viral video going around on the flight from L.A. to Detroit on the fabulous Spirit Airlines?
No, you teased about it during the pre-show, and I've not seen it.
I have not seen it at all, Mike. I haven't seen
this
it.
This ties into what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Airline sales are up.
Right.
People are getting on airplanes more than they have. Thanksgiving bookings are dramatically up right now. People are getting ready to do it. This shows a absolutely balls to the wall crowded Spirit airline flight. And this woman's on the flight and a brawl breaks out in the middle of the plane. Apparently a passenger was complaining about loud talking when they were trying to sleep. And they show these guys pixelated. Because that's the way they have to do it. Just wailing on this other passenger to the point where there was blood in the cabin because this was, I mean, it was relentless. It was an assault like you wouldn't believe. And the flight attendants didn't intervene because they don't get paid enough. That's what one of the flight attendants said to one of the passengers. So, hey, salute goes out to Spirit Airlines. That's the one you want to fly them, everybody.
Couldn't you stop that just by putting the seatbelt light on?
I don't know what happened. The plane was from L.A. to Detroit, which, by the way, is a fun flight to start with, and then had to be diverted. I think they landed in Des Moines, Iowa, because they were very, very concerned about the people. These guys apparently look. I just don't think you mess with a certain clientele when you're flying from L.A. to Detroit.
No.
Might be a little tough sledding in that, because these guys apparently went to the bathroom and changed out of their bloody clothes.
Oh, man.
Before the marshals got on the flight.
Because they knew what they were doing.
And because it was local news, there was no follow-up. Other than that, you can see the video at our website. So that's
How close were the... Was it a jam flight?
It was a jammed flight, and it looked about as fun as our Wi-Fi connections are today. Absolutely. We're going to take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
What if I told you there was one man unlike any other? What if I told you there was one man who wanted all the fans? What if I told you that the fan man with everything could lose it all? What if I told you that Dan the Fan Man couldn't be happy until he got his Dan the Fan hands on every fan that his Dan the Fan hands could handle? Listen to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show to hear the whole story on Dan the Fan Man, overcoming his addictions to methamphetamines, and getting to the top, now airing on ESP Fan.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS T-Shirt Store.
Yay!
Hey, I think I'm supposed to do a commercial about this, but I don't think it's appropriate because I think they're gone. They might be.
Sold out, Mike.
Wow.
Yeah, and
if you listen to the cocktail party show on Friday, we debuted our new T-shirt, and these are limited runs, guys, so they go quickly. Go click the TMOS shirts banner on our website. You can still get the regular ones, right? The hoodies and the
No, those are sold out as well. We're sold
all right,
out.
So we'll come up with something new.
Yeah. So I left the spot in there because Pony and I go over the spots in the morning, And then I got a text in the evening from our vendor and it said, I've never seen anything like this before. I had to check the numbers twice. You guys are sold out of your shirts.
Hey, you guys rock. This is keeping the show going.
And thank you.
Maybe come up with a new one soon. This was a... I hate reading it.
You don't have to read it. Just because it's
It was a brand new logo design on the front and the back. It featured the whole crew.
Yeah.
So they didn't change... Did they change the Rob with the 1B to a 2B?
Oh, yeah. It'll be spell checked. Oh, it's going to be spell checked.
Mike, it's already been updated. It's fine.
Okay. Well, all sizes were available up to 4XL, but they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah,
this is good news. This is a silver line.
They were ready to be delivered right to your front door with zero human contact. You just could have clicked the T-shirt banner at MichaelMurrayShow.com. Thank you,
FOMO. And, FOMO,
thank
Oscar.
You. FOMO. Yeah. Thanks for your support. We appreciate it. Very good.
News.
Boo. And down there, not a bigger run. Those are popular.
That's when we have, we do that, Mike, and then we have leftovers.
Okay. All right. We don't want to do that.
This is very calculated.
We're very, very careful.
Thank you.
Carmen Electra. Remember that name? Carmen Electra?
Yes. Of course.
She's 48 years old and hotter than ever, thanks to that Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, which I have not seen yet. She's in it because of her crazy relationship with Dennis Rodman. I remember a particular press conference.
Side character, yeah.
Dennis Rodman had, after coming down from the hotel with Carmen Electra, where he said what she did, and they had a really weird relationship. It was interesting. But it's back when Jordan was playing on the Bulls with Dennis Rodman.
Didn't he use a certain verb in the past tense that really isn't supposed to be used?
She bang-a-banged me.
That's right.
And now people are looking up on her Pornhub. They're looking her up on Pornhub. Last week alone, there were 1.7 million searches for her. The day she appeared on The Last Dance, there were 14,796 Pornhub searches for Carmen. The next day, that number shot up to 393,000. Her biggest day was last Thursday when there were 588,000. Unfortunately, she hasn't made a porno. She's just posed nude.
Yeah,
so there you go, Pornhubbers. You know.
If you remember Carmen Electra at her apex, and maybe you had a poster of her on your wall in college.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you saw her on this documentary. You're like, damn it. Like whatever surgeon or Botox ear or whoever she's going to see is the Da Vinci of plastic surgery because she looks exactly the same.
Well, she's only 48 years old, right?
She looks like she's 24.
Yeah. Beautiful. She still looks beautiful.
Yeah. And you can keep track of her Pornhub statistics on all the COVID websites. They're right next to the cases.
There you go. Which is more dangerous? Carol Baskin has given almost no interviews since Tiger King came out, mainly because she doesn't like the way she's portrayed in it, and she probably doesn't want to answer any questions about her missing husband, which you just know everybody wants to ask her.
Sure.
But two YouTubers named Josh Peters and Archie Manners tricked Carol into giving her first interview by pretending they were producers from The Tonight Show.
Mm.
They used the quarantine to their advantage, telling Carol she wouldn't be able to see Jimmy Fallon because he didn't have the right equipment at his house. Then they played old clips of Jimmy asking questions, and she answered them. Nothing sensational or gossip-worthy happened. Well, that sucks. Then what's the point?
Well, because it's Carol, like Cousin Mike at the bottom of it. It's still a Fallon interview.
This is true. Carol only wanted to talk about her big cat rescue and the bill she's trying to get passed that would outlaw those roadside zoos and Tiger King. It was pretty normal, the interview. And because of that, Carol told Us Weekly that she wasn't upset at all about the prank. Oh. I smell a rat. If you're going to get her to say stuff, you know,
right.
It sounds fake, doesn't
it's
it?
Fake,
you know?
Set up.
Good. I mean, imagine this. This is a woman who's been able to cover up the death of her husband.
That's
if
right.
That's the truth.
Well, she murdered her husband and fed him to tigers.
Ooh, this is a viral video. We tricked her. Imagine that with these two guys. We tricked her into giving what ended up to be a nothing interview.
Keep in mind who your target is. You tricked Carol Baskins. Big deal.
Well, also think the Tiger King's going to be in, I would say, textbooks, in multimedia textbooks for the coronavirus years to come?
It's what we all watched.
Right?
Yeah. That's what happened. All right, here we go. Some quick hits right now. The American people have basically decided that the quarantine is over, whether it's really time for that or not. That's where we are.
Yep.
Duh, 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 duh. Mm-hmm. Apple data shows traffic in the U.S. has doubled. Any notice of that today, Rob?
Absolutely.
Coming in? Did you? You didn't come in?
No.
That's right. Anyway.
More cars on the road.
more cars on the road today. Nate Silver of 538 found that two variables seem to predict how much people in a state are moving around. If it's a red state and if there's nice weather. So more people are out where there's nice weather and if it's a red state.
I came to my first on Saturday. I came to my first backup on 66, I would say, in almost 2 months.
Yeah, in the morning show, when the TV morning shows, they're not doing like dedicated traffic anymore. They're just letting the anchors handle it because for the past 4 weeks, it's just been everything's green, everything's good. Today, there was a backup and it threw Steve Shenevy.
Yeah. Well, it could be 2 years until we can safely leave our houses. And we're really setting ourselves up for a second wave. But we're going out now anyway. That's what they say in these news stories, but we'll wait and see. Our country's lack of a single vision, let me hit that. Our country's lack of a single vision for dealing with the virus is catching up with us. Unfortunately, the half-hearted some cities and states tell people to stay inside, some don't approach, so far in the U.S. hasn't really worked. According to Scott Gottlieb, a former FDA commissioner, quote, while mitigation didn't fail, I think it's fair to say it didn't work as well as expected. We expected we'd start seeing more significant declines in new cases and deaths, and we're just not. So just think about that if you're going to be going, I don't know why, Timmy got it, you know. Some areas around the country are lifting restrictions. The U.S. had its deadliest day yet. I mentioned that on May 1st, 2,909 deaths from the virus. And cases are now growing faster in rural areas than urban areas. So just take these facts as I give them and do what you can do. The federal government is trying to get states to reopen and was painting 67,000 deaths and climbing as a great success. They also quietly ordered 100,000 new body bags. New data shows coronavirus deaths may be much higher than expected. An estimated 37,100 people above the normal rate died in March and April. That's 13,500 more than are attributed to coronavirus for that period. Another new study found coronavirus is killing people an average of at least a decade before their time. These are facts, folks. Just take them for what they're worth here. Welcome to anarchy. Two Arizona County sheriffs say they won't enforce the governor's stay-at-home order. And a city in Oklahoma was bullied into dropping face mask requirements after people threatened employees at stores. I couldn't be more proud. A guy in Texas was arrested for shoving a park ranger into the lake after the ranger came by to try to enforce social distancing regulations. This is happening all over our fine country. The rallies against the stay-at-home orders just can't seem to avoid dipping into Nazism. At a rally in Illinois, a woman held up a sign saying, Arbeit macht frei, which translates to work makes you free. And if you want to know what that was the slogan on the gates of Auschwitz. If you want to know the kind of people that are, you know, don't tread on me, just realize that's what we got there. She addressed it to J.B., meaning Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who is Jewish. Isn't that great?
Terrible.
Congratulations. Terrorist threats are on the rise worldwide as extremists are capitalizing on the pandemic. April's employment report comes out on Friday. It's expected to show the largest one-month jump in unemployment in U.S. history. Something else to worry about with the economy, deflation. That's when prices fall. Ultimately, that leads to things like wage cuts and more debt. Right. And 16% of Americans say they aren't sure they'll ever be totally comfortable going out in public again. And 58% will be more suspicious of their friends and family's hygiene habits.
Oh, if you're a dirty dude or dirty gal, forget about it. This is it. You better get up, shape up or ship out because nobody wants your funky ass at work.
Well said.
Exactly. Missouri released the names and addresses of approximately 900 people who reported people and businesses for breaking lockdown rules. Now those people are worried about retribution. I really think this news would indicate the country might be going insane. All right. And now a little something. If you need a breakfast project that's unnecessarily complicated to keep you occupied right now, here you go. Let me put on my best fluffy local news reporter voice.
Okay.
People have been posting TikTok videos where they make a bunch of tiny little pancakes. Then they eat them in a bowl like cereal. They haven't been eating them with milk on top. Usually it's just syrup and butter. On a semi-related note, IHOP posted a picture on Twitter of a new product they're making called Pan Flakes. And yes, it also looks like mini pancakes, everybody. When IHOP opens, there will be a special price for Pan Flakes if you can show proof that your IQ is under 85. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's the news. Sorry for the depression.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a smart man, but they sound pretty good to me.
They're named after the pandemic.
We'll take a break. And we'll come back with the audio. I hope your audio vault is more fun than my news was. I know we need that, you know? Didn't even get a chance to talk about the thread saying Carla's not as hot as she thinks she is. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that. Yeah. Nice people all around. Time to go squirrely. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Steve Bridges. Did you know that Steve has been on the air since 1965? That's nearly 100 years. He is a member of the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He got the nickname Captain Steve when he served at Pearl Harbor. Steve invented the phrase, the 10th caller wins. He wears glasses not for vision, but only to make himself look smarter. Steve played Mickey in the popular 1950s show Circus Boy. His cartoon-styled voice inspired the character of Joe Rocket. And he owns and operates the Mighty 1630 KCJJ, the terrestrial flagship broadcast home of the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009, which happens to be the best show on KCJJ. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, KCJJ. You are the best.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Coronavirus update. I am not doing your Sarah Jessica Parker joke.
Okay, you don't have to.
I will not be doing that. No.
But you don't have to.
Bluebell Ice Cream has agreed to pay $19 million to the 2015 for the 2015 Listeria outbreak traced to their creameries. Bluebell is not associated with Blue Bowl, a company that continues promising to pay and comes close but never does. What is wrong with you?
Weird.
And giant Asian murder hornets have been spotted for the first time in U.S. history in Washington State. Why is it always Washington State?
I know.
Their stings can penetrate standard beekeeper suits and can prove fatal to humans. So that's nice. The governor of Georgia has promised to open up their hives by May 15th. That's funny. You got one of three. Luckily, the TMOS shopping center takes the sting out of shopping. Get things from Target and Walmart safely from home. Hit up MikeO'MaraShow.com. The banner's right there. Click it like you mean it. Instant access to Target and Walmart. Trust me, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Just make sure that you access them through our banner, TMOS Shopping Center. Shop from home and help us out. My mama told me, you better shop around. Let's open up the audio vault. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
I know what you need to cheer yourself up, Mike, is a quarantine. Because we're all stuck at home, aren't we? And nothing will cheer us up better than a great parody record. How about one that salutes David Bowie? Remember Let's Dance, right?
Of course. Let's dance.
Sweatpants. It's sweatpants.
Leave off your shoes and your bra, too.
Pretty good. Sweatpants.
With zero chance I'll be doing cardio. Let's lay. While carbs go straight to our waist.
It went pretty good. Had a good run. And, but no matter how much we suffer during this virus and we have trouble with our government, there's one thing we can all agree on. Mike Love from the Beach Boys is still a dick. And even though he's
still alive?
Yeah. No, just stay tuned. Not only is he donating the proceeds to this record to charities, of this record are going to benefit COVID charities. I can't see it making too much money because it's horrible. It's a duet Mike Love from the Beach Boys with John Stamos, occasional Beach Boy.
Oh,
and it is called
Black.
This Too Shall Pass.
People are wondering how long it'll last, as the saying goes.
It's so bad.
It sounds terrible.
It sounds like they recorded it on Zoom.
Yes.
It really does.
Do you think there's any chance? John Stamos has a pretty decent career. He's still
and a good looking guy.
Do you think that whole he loved the Beach Boys for a really long, they get him, let him get on stage? Do you think now it's reversed a little bit and maybe he's helping Mike Love out more than Mike Love is helping? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
He doesn't need to do that.
All right, Mike. I know this means the world to you. Today is the fourth day of May, which is Star Wars Day, because May the 4th be with you, right?
Yes.
They put a supercut up on YouTube of the first six Star Wars films. They use the word the Force 91 times.
The Force.
The Force?
The Force. The Force.
The Force.
The Force.
The Force.
Which is all well and good, but I wanted to go a different direction to salute Star Wars. One of my favorite things, and I remember as a boy sitting down there, before you got the Star Wars overture, you always got the 20th Century Fox fanfare. One of the greatest pieces.
Yeah, very nice.
And as a matter of fact, piece of trivia, was written by Alfred Newman, who is Randy Newman's uncle. So very musical family.
Mm-hmm.
So it begs the question, what would it sound like if someone were to play the 20th Century Fox theme fanfare using a frying pan and a spatula? How might that sound? Might sound like this.
I thought there'd be musical notes. I could do that.
I
could do that with a piece of paper. That was disappointing.
Yeah, the worst.
Oh, I expected so much more. Yeah. That was so disappointing.
Well, Mike, happy Star Wars Day. Trending on YouTube, you said that you think the country's losing its mind. Maybe. When it's trending that a little girl is singing a song on YouTube, and this is on the top of my feed, the song she made up is called I Wonder What's Inside Your Butthole.
I wonder what's inside your butthole. I wonder what's inside your butthole. Maybe there's astronauts, maybe there's aliens all inside your butthole. What's inside your butthole? I always want to know what's inside your butthole. I always want to know.
The funny thing is after that posted, Mike Love from the Beach Boys called the little girl and said, how did you make the fidelity so good?
Yeah, he fired John Stamos.
He did.
Her.
All right. Also, Madonna. I don't know. She posted something on Instagram. This is what she says on Instagram. I don't know what she's thinking.
I took a test the other day, and I found out that I have the antibodies. So tomorrow, I'm just going to go for a long drive in a car, and I'm going to roll down the window, and I'm going to breathe in the COVID-19 air. Yep.
She's going to breathe in the COVID-19 air.
Good for you. Good for you, Madonna.
So
well done.
Just keep an eye on
all
that
about
one.
You.
Squirrely.
All about you. Yep.
Yeah, she's a little squirrely. Yeah. And we close with Seth Meyers. This is big news for pet owners. I know you have a new dog coming, Mike. You have a dog currently.
Yes.
Oscar Winslow. And I are pet owners. Dogs have to practice social distancing.
The CDC has recommended that pet owners follow social distancing guidelines for their animals. Said dogs, okay, well, then can you at least describe the smell of your crotch?
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Monday, everybody. Please be safe. Please be smart.
Thank you for the happy audio vault. I'm sorry. We were a little heavy. We'll try to be lighter tomorrow. I'll do something stupid today. I will. I'll talk about my son not being a morning person. But anyway, I'll just get worried for you all. Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah.
Do take care of yourself. I think you're the only one that can do that for yourself. So people aren't going to take care of you.
No.
Do what you have to do.
Do
That's
your homework.
All I have to say.
Yes.
Do your homework. By the way, yes, you asked for it. You got it. It's always an interesting gathering when we get together on our cocktail party this coming Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. West Coast time. We will look forward to seeing you. And by the way, I will not say West Coast time anymore because I'm not Edward R. Murrow. And people know that when it's 7 p.m. Eastern, they know what time it is, where it is for them. Thank you. For Oscar Santana,
this
Rob Spiewak.
This is London.
Also, Maddie Masiello, Matt Ponyboy Bloom, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I think it's a disgrace, and I say that, and I say that, and that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. Don't be rude. Your organization's terrible. Quiet.
If you keep talking, I'll leave, and you can have it out with the rest of these people.